One morning in June, some 20 years ago, I was born a rich man's son. I had everything that money could buy, but freedom I had none. Muy buenas tardes, queridos oyentes, bienvenidos otra semana más, otra fría semana más a Break Potatoes, vuestro programa en Spanglish. Esta semana, Collins,
Cabrera,
va a ser un programa realmente multicultural.
Very much so, very multicultural.
Tenemos gente que viene de Gales, de Francia, de Las Rozas, o sea, gente de todo el mundo.
Cuenca,
more exotic.
Es un Cuenca.
Es Cuenca, yo creo que Las Rozas.
This is completely exotic, Cabrera.
Sí, no, Cuenca es un lugar exótico. Uf. Con sus palmeritas, no le falta nada. No. Gustavo Rodríguez, bienvenido de nuevo a Break Potatoes.
Thank you.
¿Qué tal?
Very well. With a little bit of hangover, as I said before, but it's okay.
You Spanish people, all you do is go out and get drunk, cause problems on the streets. Disgraceful.
Tenemos también una invitada que viene directamente desde Francia, solo a participar en Break Potatoes y luego ya tiene que volver, tiene mucho lío allí. Bienvenida, Carolina
Castex.
Eso es. Nuestra pronunciación francesa nos falla un poco aquí en Break Potatoes, Collins.
¿Cómo?
Que tenemos que mejorar nuestra pronunciación francesa.
Definitely, Carolina.
Por
definitely.
Cierto, estuve la semana pasada mejorando mi pronunciación francesa.
Really?
En Túnez. Aprendí muy bien el acento francés allí, es muy bueno.
Oh, I'm sure.
El mío no tanto.
Tell us a phrase in French, Cabrera.
Voilà mon passeport. Aquí
Very
está
useful.
Mi pasaporte. Y ¿puedo leer Hamamet, s'il vous plaît?
Repeat that.
Es, no, no.
Does it mean anything?
Yeah.
Para
what
ir a Hamamet.
If you okay. He wanted to go to Hammamet, which is a famous place in Tunis.
Ah, yeah. Oui, Hammamet. Ah, okay. Where is, yeah, blah, blah, blah. Of course.
Collins.
My French stretches that far.
Estás perdiendo... Solo hablas 7 idiomas y estás perdiendo uno de ellos, tío.
Oh.
Qué vergüenza.
I'm going to France next week, actually.
¿Hay partido de rugby?
Sí. ¿Cómo lo sabías?
Porque es la única forma en la que viajas.
I go to weddings and occasionally to see my parents as well in different places.
Ah, verdad, sí.
So, not just rugby, Cabrera.
Es cierto. Gustavo, te hemos traído aquí porque nos traes noticias frescas del continente africano. Queríamos haber ido Collins y yo como reporteros allí, pero nos ha sido imposible porque tenemos mucho lío con lo del rugby y eso. Y entonces te hemos mandado a ti como corresponsal. ¿Qué tal está la cosa en África? Está bien, ¿no? En toda ella, en toda África. ¿Está en toda África o solo en algún país en concreto?
Well, only in the Ivory Coast, with a little stopover in Senegal. But, well, in fact, the work camp I took part in was in the Ivory Coast, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very nice. I've been to Africa. So, place called Seville.
Melilla. Melilla.
Don't the French say that Africa starts at the Pyrenees?
No.
Oh, at least you don't say that when you are in Spain. Maybe when you are back home, you say that, but no.
It's the first time I hear that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, really.
I heard it was a French thing. Not all French people say that, obviously. Anyway.
Sorry. I think it's very generalized in Europe, yeah. Or it was. Yeah.
Sorry, anyway, that was a rude interruption. Tell us about the Ivory Coast then, Gustavo. When did you go?
Okay. I took my summer holidays this year to do a different thing. I think it was when I came back from my trip to Chile and Argentina this month of February. I came back and I was so depressed. Or having to work again.
The return
so
to work, it is a bit sad.
Yeah, it's horrible.
Oh dear.
So I had to mark a next objective. Mm-hmm. And I have always dreamed of traveling to Africa. Mm-hmm. And I thought the best way to approach Africa was to take part in a sort of work camp or work with a non-profit organization in order to know the real life in Africa.
Mm-hmm. So I didn't want to go. ¿Quieres decir que la gente que va, por ejemplo, a pasar una semana a Túnez no conoce la vida verdadera de África? Solo porque están encerrados en hoteles de 4 estrellas ahí.
And they don't learn French either.
Bueno, pero a lo mejor aprenden árabe. Bueno, tampoco es el caso.
It could be very useful.
Tampoco es el caso.
Yeah, so what was the... how would you rank it in the most interesting or fascinating experiences of your life? Is it up there at the top? Or
sure, it's at the top, yes. Mm-hmm.
Hmm. And what was the best... Well, no, just tell us about a few the best things, the most amazing or surprising things... about the trip.
The most surprising thing for me was at the beginning we knew we were going to work in a Hevea plantation. Hevea is the plant of the rubber. I don't know if the name in
rubber
English
tree,
the rubber plantation.
Yeah.
A rubber plantation, yeah. Uh-huh. And we would develop that work in a very rural area. Mm-hmm. But we weren't told that really we were going to be the first visitors, those first European visitors, those villages mm-hmm. were going to have. Mm. And for our surprise, we could remark that we became the first white people, the children, oh. Especially the little children,
yeah.
ever saw in their life. So.
Pero, ¿por qué era eso? ¿Por qué era un sitio muy muy aislado o porque no había, era la primera vez que había programas de este tipo allí?
Probably. Well, it was the first time a non-profit organization made one of those programs. And it's curious because the Ivory Coast is said to have the best or one of the best road networks in Africa. Mm-hmm. But it's a very rural area when there are only agricultural plantations and forest, but there are not mineral resources. There are not any gold mines or diamonds or petrol. So
probably
I think
yeah, that way.
It's because of that that white people don't very often go there.
They're probably better off being left to their own devices, as we say, left to get on with their lives. Mm. And Carolina, so your work is in this general area, isn't it? Do you want to tell us a bit about where you work and what you do?
Okay, I work in a women's world banking in Spain. Mm-hmm. The name is Banco Mundial de la Mujer.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Spanish NGO, and we're working with women. So with the topics of gender equality and mm-hmm. in employment, self-employment mm-hmm. mostly. So we've got microcredit programs
mm-hmm.
and we help women to set up their own business.
So it's not actually a bank in the traditional sense?
No, it's not really a bank. We've got agreements with different savings banks in mm-hmm. Spain, and so they put the money and we do social work.
Mm. In which country do you make these programs?
Sorry?
In which countries?
We work in Spain, but we also have a program in Morocco. So I was in Morocco last week. but it's not about microcredit. We've got a program on... it's a trade house. We call it trade house. It's a shop where craft women mm-hmm. can sell their products. So we offer them the place. We give them training on marketing and and design of their products. And then they can sell their products in this shop for free.
So you have programs in Spain, like microcredits in Spain?
Oh, mm.
In which area? In Madrid or...?
No, Spain. Spain everywhere.
All over the country.
We've got an office in Madrid only, but we work in all Spain.
Mm-hmm. How is it going? Is working well? The results
okay.
are pretty good.
Yeah, it's working very well.
So how would a typical program be? What would a typical program consist of?
Microcredit program, you say? Mm-hmm. Okay, we receive women in our office who are interested in setting up their business, mm-hmm. and so they come at the office for advice, business advice, and we help them with the business plan.
Mm-hmm.
And then we work in collaboration with the savings bank,
mm-hmm.
to see if this project is viable, and if so, the bank can give the money
and
to this
so
woman.
The project then could be a woman comes to you with an idea. Maybe
yeah.
she wants to set up, I don't know, a restaurant or just some kind of business, is it? Or
yeah, it can be a restaurant, it can be a hairdresser.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it can be any kind of small business.
Mm-hmm.
And you only work with women?
Yeah, only with women.
Why only with women?
Because women are the poorest in the world. You know, we've got some statistics about women in the world, and so we could see that women... Okay, I need to remember exactly. But women are half of the people on this planet, but they only get 10% of the
salary or
yeah,
the,
of the salary,
income.
And then the of the income, yeah, and then they get only no, they get one. Okay, they get 10% of the income for their work, and they get 1%. Yeah, 10% of the money from their work, and they get 1% of all wealth in the world.
1%.
Yeah, 1%. So you understand why we work with women.
But
one, really
1%?
Yeah,
1%. Yeah, if you think that maybe like 100 people, they have half of the money in the world,
yeah.
as they say, probably these 100 people, they are not women.
Yeah, yeah,
men,
yeah.
So
yeah.
That's true.
But would you say that in Spain the difference is so... Because I remember the project of Mohamed Yunus,
yeah.
the microcredit in...
Mm-hmm.
In Sri Lanka, probably, or
Bangladesh.
In Bangladesh, yeah, because in Bangladesh the situation is there are like huge difference between
mm-hmm.
men and women, but in Spain it's so bad. Would you say
it's not very good either? Last statistics from Spain, it's very difficult in Spain to get statistics on gender gaps. Or
mm-hmm.
yeah, but the last statistics we have in banks is that only 8% of the loans are. Have women as the main part of the loan, you know.
Mm-hmm.
As the person
so,
who
yeah.
is taking out the loan.
Mm-hmm.
And how do women know to that you exist or that to go to your organization?
Mm-hmm. Because we work in collaboration with a lot of people,
mm-hmm.
and so we're working with saving banks, working with the Spanish administration. And so when women are looking for information, they go to one of these places. When you're asking for a loan, you go to your bank, and the bank say you can go to this place.
Okay.
Or if you
so
go
it's
to
referrals
Spanish,
from
yeah.
other... So you're not necessarily an advertiser, but you have people who
mm.
send women to you.
Yeah, and then on the internet.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Mm.
Okay, cool.
Es un proyecto muy muy interesante. Entonces, lo que hace esta organización es dar pequeños créditos a mujeres, en este caso en España y en Marruecos, para iniciar su propio negocio. Imagino que no des créditos, por ejemplo, para una casa. Es para hacer negocios o
yeah, only for business creation.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Para crear pequeños negocios de autoempleo y bueno, para mantener su nivel económico y su familia y demás. O sea, es extrapolar un poco lo que está haciendo en países subdesarrollados en este caso, pero traerlo a países en desarrollo y primer mundo, que según parece pues también hay esa necesidad de crearlo.
Is there much difference between the situation in Morocco and in Spain? With Morocco being an Islamic country, is it do you sense it being much more difficult for a woman to start a business in Morocco?
Yeah, it's much more difficult. That's true that in Spain, the NGO has been working in Spain for 20 years now,
mm.
so at the beginning it was quite different too. Women are at less power in Spain, but now things have changed a lot.
Mm.
In Morocco, it's quite complicated because women really depend on their husbands. and they cannot do anything alone. So,
do they need to have permission from their husbands or to do certain things?
Yeah, they do.
Like written permission, like to open a bank account or things like that.
Not written, but to open a bank account, you need to get minimum amount of money, and they don't, because the money is like the property of the husband. So,
even though she earns the money,
yeah.
Hence the figure of 1%, because I guess it's like you say they are earning money, but it's automatically in their husband's name, I guess.
Yeah. Gustavo, what about the situation of the woman in Ivory Coast?
Took the words out of my mouth.
Sticky.
Well, as in all those countries, obviously
don't describe them physically. I mean, no.
Well, they are beautiful.
Okay,
we have to say that.
Good to know.
The situation of women in Ivory Coast, is more or less like in all African countries. They are obviously much behind the men in social or economic positions. They must do a hard work, and sometimes, Caroline has just explained, the incomes are retained or they are kept by their husbands. But maybe because that country is a very interesting mosaic of cultures, ethnies and religions, most of them are Christians and then Muslims.
Catholics? When you say Christians, Catholics or Protestant?
No. Mainly evangelists and Protestants. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Catholics are a minority. And despite that, the biggest church in the world is there.
The biggest
actual
church, the biggest physical church.
Yeah,
even bigger than Vaticano.
Very interesting.
Yeah. It's bigger. Yes, indeed, it's a replica. St. Peter's Basilica.
Uh-huh.
It's one of the most surprising things you can see there.
It's a replica, but they added a little toilet block next door to make it officially bigger, I guess. Because otherwise, if it's in a replica, it'd be the same size.
It was not exactly that, but in the 80s. In the Ivory Coast, there was still the first president, the independence father, who was in the government. He was a dictator who ruled the country for about 30 or 35 years.
Did the Ivory Coast gain its independence from France?
Yeah.
Britain, from France.
France. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's a French-speaking country.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things he decided in the last years of his government was to build...
Tenemos un pequeño problema porque parece que el micrófono no, como que se ha desconectado un poco. ¿Tu micrófono, Gustavo? A ver. ¿Prueba ahora?
Yeah.
¿Hola?
Ahora sí.
¿Sí?
Ahora sí.
Vale.
sí. Se había desconectado algo.
Salto el mío. Salto el micrófono, no sé. Hizo una cosa rara.
Ah, vale, no hay problema. Ahora se oye bien.
Pero salto así.
Sí,
es básicamente.
Okay. Se movió.
In the 80s, this man said he had made an agreement, a sort of agreement with God, and he decided to
build... With God, directly. Good
yeah.
call. Go straight to the big man. Don't speak to the Pope.
He was a very important man, indeed.
That must be great, though, if your country is ruled by somebody who has a direct line with God. That's very useful.
I think there are a lot of politicians who think that, at least.
Anyway, sorry, so you were saying he spoke to God and decided to build a church.
And apparently God ordered him or asked him to build a bigger church in the world.
It's a good way to spend all the money you have in your country to make the biggest church in the world. Your country is as rich as is Ivory Coast. Just spend all the money you have in a huge church.
All the poor people were delighted that they spent it on
Absolutely.
Building a big city.
But do they have many tourist people going there, like many tourists, as a Vaticano City, I mean? Because maybe they have some income from the tourism.
I don't think so, because, well, firstly, this country has suffered recently a civil war, mm-hmm. which ended about 1 year and a half, and there's still a lot of rebel and criminal activity in this country. It's not very sure, so I don't know about the statistics of tourists some years ago, but when we went to see the Basilic, we were one of the few people who was there in that.
And how big, to give us an idea, so in our mind of how big it is, what kind of dimensions would it have? How many people fit inside?
Is
how
it bigger
tall is it?
than Radio Laz Studio, for example?
So, well, maybe it's not so big.
Is it so hot?
It's hot because all the seats are have heating and air conditioning. They are
on every seat.
On every seat, yeah.
That's to make you go to church. That's a plus.
Well,
in winter at least.
Exactly.
Yeah. Especially.
I will go today to the church.
Despite that, only about 700 people go to mass every Sunday.
Only 700.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think it is higher in Spain.
No, I'm talking about only 700. That sounds like a lot. No, but when you say so, in the church.
In the church, yeah.
Ah, okay. In that, yeah.
Even though it can hold about 11,000 people, all seated in the indoor building.
It's like Cardiff Rugby Club holds 11,000, or maybe a little bit
You can
bit
watch
more,
a match there.
God, that's...
Well, and in the outdoor, there's enough space for 300,000 people.
So the whole country and another one?
More or less.
And Burkina Faso.
The whole city, at least, because... And it's very curious, the city was...
Where is the capital of Ivory Coast? Where is the capital? The name of the capital of Ivory Coast?
Ah, Yamoussoukro.
Ah, of course, Yamoussoukro. Mm-hmm. Unforgettable. Yeah.
Before that, it was Abidjan, which is still the economic...
Powerhouse.
Yeah, it is.
Main city.
But the... This city, Yamoussoukro, was 20 years ago a little village where only 400 or 500 people live. But it was the village where this man was born.
It's a coincidence. He was born in a village, and then that village later became the country's capital.
Became the capital, yeah.
This is the man who talked to God.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
He was such a great guy. What was the name of that guy?
Félix Houphouët-Boigny.
I thought his name was Ivory Coast.
I think it was going to be the next decision. And in fact, one of the most interesting things you can see in the Basilic is glass, the typical glass for in cathedrals. I don't know the
word. Stained glass windows.
Yeah. Where you can see the 12... 12 apostles with Jesus Christ, and in the middle of the apostles you can see a black man who seemed to be
the president
of the country, yeah.
Unbelievable.
He wasn't the 13th, he wasn't Judas then.
Probably.
So there was no room in the painting for Jesus, just the president.
The president were talking to Jesus Christ in the glass.
Out of interest, how is Jesus physically portrayed in Africa? As white or... if you see a photograph, not a photograph,
a painting.
If you see a painting or a stained glass window, a statue of Jesus Christ, is he white or is he kind of like... brown?
No,
colour.
He's white, yeah. Just
because, I mean,
like
if he existed, he would have been quite dark, probably like a typical Arab from today.
Palestinian.
Like a yeah, exactly. I assume, I mean, you presume that would be the case, but yet you go to churches and you see like milk white skin and light brown hair. I mean, ridiculous. Well,
even blonde.
Ridiculous.
Probably even blonde. In some cases.
Yeah. Sometimes blonde, yeah. Strange. Well, not strange, it's people want to identify this figure with their own locality, with where they live.
Qué curioso, hemos aprendido hoy en Break Potatoes, hemos aprendido un poco de la cultura de Costa de Marfil, y que tiene la catedral más grande del mundo, ¿no?
It's a basilic.
O la basílica más grande del mundo, incluso mayor que la del Vaticano. Uh-huh. También sabemos que el presidente cenaba allí estuvo en la última cena, o sea, era muy mayor, ¿no? Imagino. Hemos construido...
2000 years old.
Hemos construido, como siempre, un pequeño puente cultural entre Hortaleza y la Costa de Marfil. Collins, casi se nos va el tiempo sin pasar al puente cultural.
Can't let that happen, Cabrera.
¿Estás preparado? ¿Qué nos vas a cantar hoy, rápidamente?
Restless Wild Boy by Ángela Forero. A famous song from a soap opera a few years ago. La pasión de los gavilanes.
Conociéndote como te conozco, no, ni siquiera vamos a presentar la canción. Vamos a ir directamente a por ella. Adelante, Collins.
Take it away, Cabrera. Ay. Look at me, I'm the other. The fiery one. The one that knows what to do. Your sunrise is a stroke that moves me, that drives me mad. Is the mysterious of light. Every night you amaze, and you're lost at sunrise. That's why I ask myself, who's that man who looks at me and strips me? A restless wild boy who runs rings around me, makes me tremble, but makes me feel like a woman. And nobody will take him away from me. I'll always be his owner. The one he sleeps for, the one he dines for, the one he breathes for. Who's that man? Hey! Who's that man who looks at me and strips me? A restless wild boy who runs rings around me. It makes me tremble but makes me feel like a woman. Nobody will take him away from me. I'll always be his owner. The one he sleeps for, the one he dies for, the one he breathes for. I am his wife.
Collins, me ha sorprendido cómo te ha hecho sentir como una mujer esta canción, ¿no?
It very much. I was living just for a couple of minutes. I was living her experience. Incredible.
So now that you feel like a woman, maybe you can ask for a mini credit.
Yeah,
set up
that's true.
Your own business.
I could set up
and you could
set up
it
a language academy. Would I qualify as a woman on that basis?
I'm not sure. We should study this.
Study?
Yeah.
How do we study
this?
Let's
see your business plan and then.
Oh, damn. Okay.
Como siempre, Collins es un caso especial para todo, incluso para esta excepción. Gustavo, Carolina, nos hemos quedado con ganas de saber más de estos casos tan interesantes que nos habéis traído, que no parece ni parte de Brave Potatoes de interesante que era, Collins. Parecía algo de otro programa, desde luego. Esperemos que la semana que viene podáis estar aquí con nosotros y seguir contándonos un poco más de vuestra experiencia, de todo lo que habéis vivido en estos países y bueno, de estos proyectos que tenéis.
Por supuesto.
Muchísimas gracias por aquí, estar aquí esta semana. Y nos vemos la próxima semana en Bread Potatoes.
Sí, cabrera.